Welcome to Northern Goal, the football podcast from the Evening Express and Press and Journal. On this week's episode, how do Scottish football authorities conclude the season and how do clubs survive the financial implications with a prolonged shutdown due to coronavirus expected? UEFA, after a conference call with their 55 members, are expected to shed some light on the situation and make a ruling on Scotland's UEFA Nations League playoff with Israel later today. I'm Ryan Crail, and here with me in the studio are Danny Law, Jamie Gerent and Callum Law. Are you well, guys? Yes?
Yes, very well, thanks, Ryan.
2 metres apart from the other two guys.
Good news. Firstly, Danny, you described this as your strangest period in sports journalism.
I think last Friday was certainly a day that I always remember. It was quite a bizarre scenario because we were in the studio talking to Dave Cormack, the new Aberdeen chairman, when our news editor came with a big sign at the window saying that all Scottish football had been cancelled, which quickly, I guess, changed the direction of the interview with him, and Dave was obviously able to give us a bit of reaction there and then to the news that I think we all expected that this was going to come at some stage, given the predictions that have been made about the coronavirus outbreak and what it might do for in the coming months, and potential for a Scottish football shutdown and a football shutdown across the whole of the United Kingdom seemed like that was going to happen. But when it came on the Friday morning, the day of the Aberdeen Motherwell game down at Fir Park, it did come as a bit of a surprise because only the day before we'd been told by the SPFL that the games this weekend were going to go ahead as planned. But it did seem that the fact that Mikel Arteta, the Arsenal manager, was diagnosed with coronavirus, that I think that probably prompted the football authorities in both south and north of the border to take a different course of action. And now, obviously, we're looking at the probability of not having much football or any football for the next few months.
She'd probably just outline the situation as it stands then. So, as you said, on Friday there was a sort of temporary shutdown, or shutdown for now, of Scottish football. From the professional level down to the grassroots. But there was an update from the SFA and the SPFL yesterday confirming the shutdown of league fixtures, also postponing Cali Thistle's Challenge Cup final against Raith Rovers on March 28th. And we expect today to probably hear that the Scottish Cup semi-finals, Aberdeen are one of the teams in those, they'll be off. They're supposed to be on April 11th and 12th. And that the Scotland Nations League playoff against Israel at Hampden will be off on March 26th as well. Obviously, the big question is, with a domestic game in Scotland, how do we conclude the season? A few options have been mooted. Do any of you guys have strong opinions on what the way forward could be?
I think, and this would be the general will of most people in the game, would be to try and play the season to a finish at some stage. But whether that's potentially possible is another issue if we're looking at no football before, or no sport even before August, September time, so that may be a problem. In terms of some of the other ideas that have been put forward, if it comes to declaring the season over and using current standings as final, I think that's probably the next best option. There's been the other suggestion of promotion but no relegation, which I think isn't, I mean, fairness is the big point of all of this, but I don't feel that's particularly fair, really, to promote teams but not relegate teams based on the current standings. For me, it's got to be both or neither, rather than this sort of in the middle. And I think that ideas come from people within certain clubs who find themselves at the foot of their respective leagues as well, and it's sort of self-interest ruling perhaps what might be better for Scottish football in general.
I get the argument about kind of sporting integrity and wanting the season to play out, but at this stage you've got an indefinite shutdown and you don't know when that might be. Can you really argue that, say, 4 months down the line, 5 months down the line, if we've still not kind of got any football, that we still want to resume kind of playing the remaining kind of 8-9 games of the season when clubs in that time are going to, they will struggle financially? You've got the issue over players' contracts expiring over the summer. Do they then extend them into a scenario where they don't know where the money's going to be coming from just to try and fulfil these 8 games? Or do you declare the season kind of over as is, albeit it's not an ideal scenario, but then you get the distribution of prize money, which will prove vital to a lot of these clubs to become sustainable or to survive over the next few months?
The distribution of prize money, that you've brought that up, that's, if it was to say they make a decision this week and it can be distributed, that's vital. But all that really does is move, I mean, it gives clubs time, but it just moves the problem further down the line, because then by the time you come to mid-May, end of May, when prize money is distributed, the potential black hole is still there.
Yeah, I mean, my own feeling is that with the league competitions, that if it looks like it's going to be the case that we're not going to be able to resume playing football until when would be the next season, the new season, so if we're looking at August, September, or even further away than that, then we should call a halt to the league season as it is, and we should be able to crown champions. And actually, kind of contrary to what Callum's saying, I think it's actually quite a nice approach, where if we were to create a 14-team top tier and allow the winners of the Highland League and the Lowland League to go up into League 2 and reward the teams that are currently sitting in the top 2, promotion from League 2, League 1 and the Championship. And so in that instance, I think it's quite a nice idea to reward the teams that have had the best seasons to date, but not to punish the teams who may have been able to get out of relegation trouble.
But that's, I understand where you're coming from with that, but you have, for example, Hearts, they are 4 points from safety and adamant that they should have this chant that you can't relegate us because we've still got time to get out of it. So maybe that's right enough and you can't relegate them. But then if they bring forward this plan with promotion, as much as I'd love to see Cali Thistle playing in the top flight next season, whenever that is, Cali Thistle and Dundee United would get promoted. Cali Thistle are only 4 points ahead of Dundee in the Championship table. So how's that? Hearts have been saved because they still had a chance to get out of it. Dundee still have a chance to finish second in the Championship. There's all that. If you do it like that, there's so many of these.
But the issue is, I mean, this is something that happens in golf all the time. So a 72-hole event because of water, bad weather, rain delay, might suddenly become a 54-hole event. And it will be the player that's the top of the leaderboard after 3 rounds is crowned the champion. And there's no kind of asterisk next to the name there. It's if everyone's...
That's right. But the person at the bottom isn't then saying, oh, well, I'm not actually... The person that finishes last after 54 holes doesn't go, I shouldn't be last because I still had 18 holes to potentially win the event.
No, but the teams that finish at the bottom of the league, as it stands just now, would still, when history looks back on the season, they will still be at the bottom of the table. But it's just that no one be relegated. I think it would be unfair to put the likes of Brecon City out of the SPFL and potentially into huge problems when they obviously still have the time to turn around. The same with, I guess, Hearts and other teams at the bottom. I think it's very difficult to punish teams, but by contrast, I don't really see the issue as much with allowing Dundee United and Cali Thistle to play in an expanded top flight next year, nor allowing Brora Rangers and Kelty Hearts to move up.
I get that, but you're still potentially, this promotion issue, you're still potentially punishing other teams that are in that mix. Dundee, for example, League One, there's 5 points, or something like 5 points between the top 4, so that's an issue that's very much not settled. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
But the thing is that we aren't going to be able to play these games, and they've had 30 games or 29 games to get into the top 2. So I just think
I'm throw that teams have had 29 games to get off the bottom of the league.
Well, you could, but I think it's the other way round with that, whereby the consequences of relegation are far more drastic than the consequences of promotion.
I think in this situation, I think a lot of folk are trying to apply kind of logic and fairness to it, but it's an unprecedented situation that we're in, and a bigger picture has to be taken. Like, there are going to be people who are going to be unhappy whatever resolution the league come to. People aren't going to be happy if someone's declared champions early. People aren't going to be happy if some folk are promoted and some folk are relegated. I think the bottom line is, what's going to be the resolution that's going to keep as many clubs as sustainable and surviving as possible? Because there will be some chairmen now that are thinking, Christ, I don't know where my next payment's going to come from. How am I going to foot the bill for players, for electricity bills and whatnot over the coming months? That has to be the priority, not sporting integrity.
That you're speaking about the bigger picture and unprecedented circumstances. That's why, for me, this decision has to be led by UEFA and be a sort of... I know it's different circumstances in each country and the financial aspects are different, but has to sort of be some coherent strategy for across Europe for making this decision, because if it's left to the SFA and the SPFL, I think that's when it gets into petty grievances and the greater, what's best for the biggest majority of clubs and the financials of it probably doesn't come to the fore.
Can I raise the issue that whether the season is declared over on current standings and you've got one team going up, one team coming down from each division, if there's promotion but no relegation, which is good news obviously for a second place Cali Thistle to go from the Championship to the Premiership, the real loser among our teams looks like it's going to be Elgin City under both those options. Currently sitting third in League Two on form, would have been a decent shout for the playoffs, but that it looks like the chance of them moving up a division is gone.
Well, the thing is, even if you even say, it doesn't look like this will happen, but with the whole contract wrangle that Jamie mentioned earlier, if the say they could start the season even mid-May and the Euros is postponed and they could play into, say, May, June, finish it in June, I think they would probably find a way to do that. But even if the season does restart before, say, the end of the summer, I think one of the first things on the table will be ditching playoffs to save time, because that's like a fortnight it takes to play those playoffs. So I think regardless of what happens, they'll be binned this season.
I mean, the other thing as well is that if the play was to resume after June, say, then the squads of players will be completely different to those that have contested just now. It would be completely new teams that we're playing with different players. So I just find it hard to see, if we are looking at a prolonged shutdown, how you could resume the league calendar from where it is. The one caveat I would say is that I think that the cup competitions, such as like the Scottish Cup, the perfect
and the
curtain
Challenge
raisers,
Cup final as well.
Yeah, Challenge Cup final. I mean, these are perfect curtain raisers for when play is resumed again. So I would hate to see those competitions voided off. They should be played at the earliest possible and used almost as, not pre-season games, but really meaningful early season games when the new season, or when we do start playing football again.
You'd have the wider issue of the transfer window as well, that again you would need steer from UEFA, because if you've got 8 games left for the season and you're a team that's chasing a trophy or chasing promotion in this interim period, there's nothing stopping you, say, going and signing 3 and 4 players if it goes beyond the end of the current transfer window, and then the sporting integrity argument's thrown out the window again, because the richer clubs will have a distinct advantage over clubs that are kind of maybe less financially well off.
I think speaking about the cup games as well, say the next season begins in August, I think everyone would much rather watch Scottish Cup semi-finals and final and a Challenge Cup final than Betfred Cup group games where part-time teams are made to play far too early normally with squads still on holiday and players not signed.
I think, to be fair, we'd be happy to watch anything just now.
Aye, well, that's true.
Yeah, given some of the discussions in the office already, I would say it's getting a little bit cabin fever already.
I should raise the fact that the reason games aren't being played behind closed doors, which was something that was mentioned a couple of weeks ago before the decision was taken to suspend all football entirely, is because, and to quote the SFA and SPFL statement yesterday, that it was one of the options considered and an approach that has been adopted in various countries. However, it was the unanimous view of the Scottish FA board that this approach could compromise the health and safety of other key stakeholders, not least players, match officials and staff, as well as necessitating the attendance of emergency services and medical staff. That's also the same logic that the SFA and SPFL have used to stop grassroots football, where games would have had less than 500 people. You've got to remember that although there's all this sort of wrangling over the future of the Scottish domestic game at the moment, and it's quite inconvenient, obviously, but there's a wider human
It's a very minor issue at this period in time, but it's obviously one that the footballing world, this is a predicament for all of the leagues across Europe and competitions like the Champions League, Europa League as well, still to be decided. But in the grand scheme of things, I think we all know this is quite a almost trivial issue.
Oh yeah, definitely. And the thing is with the behind closed doors aspect as well, we've spoken a wee bit already about the financial element of this shutdown and everything. Playing behind closed doors, you're still left, because there's no crowds, no hospitality or anything, you're still left with the same financial problems as you would be as we currently have not playing.
And that's operating under the assumption that the players are immune to getting this. You've still got 22 players plus substitutes or whatever that are coming onto a pitch.
Refs.
And referees.
They're probably
linesmen.
More risk, yeah. Given that they're in close contact.
Close contact with each other. So that it's flawed logic, really, there, if you're expecting, just because we've got a crowd away, it means we minimise the risk. But then you look at how quickly over the last few days, like, players within dressing rooms and clubs have come down with symptoms of the virus.
No, not to try and be overly humorous in this situation, but that's what,
it's
made,
not like you.
What made me chuckle pre the shutdown was this no handshakes to avoid potentially passing on the virus, when you see players at corners grappling with one another and going like nose to nose and stuff, because they won't pass it on that way, but shaking hands is
spitting
dangerous.
All over the pitch.
Ah, exactly. And boys diving and landing in said spit.
One of the other issues that needs to be resolved, and we should maybe get some clarity on that today, is the next season's Europa League and Champions League. It has been mooted that the FA will push for Celtic to go directly in the Champions League groups, and Rangers, Motherwell and Aberdeen as the next three teams in the Premiership to go straight into the Europa League groups. Do we think that's a pipe dream at the moment, or something that's we're nowhere near having an answer for?
How many organisations will want that?
I was gonna
for their own teams.
I was going to say, I think it's very much a pipe dream, but if it's going to happen, it's going to be because no European qualifiers of any form are basically played, and we have this hugely expanded, they might even play kind of one-off ties, but a hugely expanded group stage or something. It's not like Scottish sides will somehow make their way into the group stages, and every country comparable to ourselves won't be able to have teams at that stage.
Yeah, I guess it might. If that situation was to come to pass, then they might look at the coefficients and just have the stronger leagues playing in the European competition, and some of the other teams that tend to make up the earlier rounds of Europa League qualification and Champions League qualification might not get the opportunity in this instance. I imagine that once football does resume, a congested fixture list and a lot of travelling between different countries in the early European stages might be something that they will try to cut down upon.
That suggestion about, say they take, the top 20 or whatever it is in the coefficient list, that might be a solution, but I think the one stumbling block you might encounter with that is if it comes to a vote of member nations to approve that, and all your, say the majority is, would be shut out of European competition, they'll then potentially block that, which leaves us kind of at square one still.
But they might make the Champions League just for the champions of each country.
That's what it should be, but can't see that happening somehow.
We've already touched on this already. As businesses, clubs are no different from any other business in the country, in the sense that this next period could be very challenging for them from a financial standpoint. When we heard from Dave Cormack, me and you, Danny, on Friday, he said that the Dons, as a sort of debt-free club with cash in the bank, and Dave Cormack himself, who's quite wealthy, in charge, it'd be safe to say they should be okay for a prolonged period of time. What do we think of our other clubs?
Well, there's been no secret about the financial struggles that some of our clubs have had in recent times, and if these clubs who are dependent upon gate receipts coming in and the money that's made on match days. If they don't have that, but they still have to pay wages, then there's obviously that could be a tricky situation because they might have the they might not have the cash reserves there to try and get them through the next period. Hopefully there will be, I mean, I think that if there was the early payment of prize money, that could help with that situation. Also, it would be good if there was maybe some government help. I know that the Scottish Rugby Union have managed to put £500,000 to member clubs there to try and help them through the next period.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are ways, but it's going to be it will be very difficult for some clubs.
The SRUs may be slightly different in that they already fund the two Scottish professional outfits in Glasgow and Edinburgh, so they're able to look more at the just the sort of grassroots in your amateur sides. But what concerns me slightly in terms of football, and I know that's not the Scottish game isn't awash with cash, but the SFA and SPFL coming out and saying last week that we have no funds out with what we normally give clubs to potentially support teams. That's kind of quite concerning for me that you're before this shutdown even happened that your governing body's coming out and saying that.
Yeah, it's teams further down the ladder that I think are going to struggle. I mean,
but that I'd on you make your point, but I'm going to disagree with you on that in a second.
Before you've even made the point.
Well, I know. Yeah. I mean, you look at teams down in the Highland League. Where the sponsorship money's not going to be anywhere near the levels you would get in the professional game, where you are more relying on attendances and hospitality that take away probably several grand per home game out of your budget. And again, you've still got to keep the lights on at these places. You've still got players' wages who I imagine will still expect to be paid even as part-time players. But if you've not got that income stream, then you've got to look elsewhere. You've got to maybe cut corners within your own club and look at non-essential things that you don't need to do and park them for further down the line because of kind of this short-term emergency situation.
Where I'm going to disagree with you with this, there's no doubt Highland League clubs, junior clubs, lower league clubs, your part-time clubs will face challenges, but I think there's some of them far better equipped to deal with it than professional full-time clubs in the Premiership and Championship, because your Highland League clubs and some of your League One and Two clubs, they're very much community clubs, and I think if it really comes to it, these communities will rally behind their club and ensure that the club is still there. And I think there's at certain clubs there's sponsors who will stand firm and ensure that the clubs come through this, whereas I think I'm not going to name names, but I think in the Championship particularly and in the Premiership, there's a number of clubs who've been probably their budgets outweigh what they should actually be paying, and they'll be perhaps more concerned, I think, than a lot of your League One and Two and Highland League clubs.
There will be the odd few in that scenario, and I think there will be clubs that are kind of reliant on having one particularly wealthy benefactor behind the scenes that can sustain any losses through this period. But again, there's not a vast amount of cash kicking around at a lot of these low league clubs, and you can only expect like members of the community to put their hands in their pockets so often when they'll have their own priorities to look after. They'll have their own families and businesses and whatnot. And I mean, while football has been such a big part of these communities as well, ultimately, it won't be the sole priority.
There are a number of bigger clubs, to be fair, as well, such as Hearts and Dundee and the like, who in recent times have been bailed out by their supporters. So if it really was to come to that again, when fans have already done it before, whether they're so willing second time around or third, I'm not so convinced. But again, and you touching it a wee bit, Danny, with the support aspect, whether it's the Scottish or the UK government, come in and provide support? Possibly, but every sport in the land right now is going, the government needs to help us, and every sector of business just about is going, and there's businesses all over the country going, we need support, so where's all your money coming from? But in terms of football, I think the reserves UEFA have could be in some countries, such as Scotland and elsewhere, be put to good use, but whether they actually are and whether that those reserves are opened up and divided up, we'll wait and see, but it's perhaps hard to see, but that could be one option.
One thing that shouldn't be too hard a decision, I'd imagine, is the postponement of this summer's Euros. They're in several different countries, or were supposed to be in several different countries, which would obviously have sort of a bearing on Scotland's Nation League playoff with Israel, in the sense that if the Euros are shifted to next summer, there's no real need to play that game for a considerable amount of time, is there?
No, and I think as well, possibly the fact that the Euros have been spread across several different countries for this time for the special anniversary edition. In some ways, that's probably a better scenario than if it was one country's economy that was probably looking forward to a big financial boom, say if it was like France hosting it or Italy hosting it this summer, or England. And then to take that away from them this summer would have obviously been quite a challenging situation, whereas the fact that it's across lots of countries should, you would think, make it easier to postpone that until either later in the year or next summer, if that's possible. But yeah, I mean, I think that'll be quite an easy decision. I can't see there being too many disagreements over that one.
You usually find as well with these tournaments, the host country is built, you know, 4, 5, 6 new stadiums, so I think that's probably makes it easier as well, that as you were touching upon, Dan, that there's no country has spent a fortune mm-hmm. with the aim of delivering this event, and then it's not going to happen.
It's an easy get out for what was an incredibly flawed idea to start with, considering you've got the mass transit of teams and people across like vast distances, that pretty much every country now has cases of coronavirus, and there's travel advice warning people not to travel unless absolutely necessary. So I can't see any way that the Euros goes ahead this summer at all.
No. To be fair, when they came up with the idea, it was well before coronavirus had hit the globe.
But I know, but still then.
I still thought it was a flawed idea.
There was quite a lot of criticism at the time for the amount of travel that was going to be involved and teams not being able to base themselves in one place.
Only working from home will stop Callum and Jamie bickering. Anyway,
even then,
I'm sure we'll find a way.
So I think we've just about covered everything we can in this uncertain time. So that would conclude today's episode of Northern Goal. Should you want to get in touch or ask us anything, make a point, berate us, the email is northerngoal@dctmedia.co.uk. Rest assured, we will still be here in the coming weeks and months with guest interviews and the latest developments as we have them, so please continue to look out for Northern Goal every Tuesday. And if you've enjoyed listening today, please subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And I suppose, don't enjoy the football wherever you are this week. Hope you loved the episode, and if you did, we'd be grateful if you could leave us a review or rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to pick up your copies of the Press and Journal and Evening Express every day for the best football writing and analysis in the North.